Well, football is going on, and all of the cardboard fans have been faithfully attending games all throughout this weird football season. And my Packers have had a good season. Just wondering, any Vikings fans here? Wondering how that's been going for you guys, okay? Chiefs fans are liking how things are going. And I want to tell you, though, one of my very favorite football stories. Look at this picture up on the screen. I think only the old-timers could probably recognize these guys. The referee is named Tommy Bell, and he was one of the best referees in the NFL for a very long time. The other guy is Fred Arbanis. Arbanis was a tight end with the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, here's what's unique about Fred. He only had one good eye, and his other eye was a glass eye. Well, Tommy Bell, a referee, did not know that. So they're playing a game, and Fred gets hit hard, and his glass eye pops out onto the field. Well, Tommy Bell almost has a heart attack seeing this happen. Fred grabs it, he spits on it, and he literally just pops it back up into his head, and then he goes on into the huddle, and later Tommy Bell learns what's going on. So after the game, he asked him, he said, "Fred, what are you ever going to do if your good eye gets damaged?" And without missing a beat, Fred Arbanis said, "Then I'd become a referee just like you." And I love that because it reminds us that clarity is so very critical. And the pursuit of clarity must be intentional because we inevitably drift very naturally toward blurry vision, even in the arena of faith. And here's what we've been doing as we started this new year. We have been looking at one of the great verses in the Bible in the pursuit of clarity, and we have been focusing on what God says He focuses on. And the verse that we've been looking at, you heard at the beginning, Mary Roetta read that for us, and it is Micah chapter 6, verse 8. "He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." The prophet says God has been remarkably clear that this is what He's looking for. Justice, mercy, humility. Repeat. Say that with me. Justice, mercy, humility. Repeat. So last week we talked about justice. And I would encourage you to go and listen to that if you missed it. All of our sermons are on our church's website, and you can watch the video of it. You can listen to the audio of it. There are sermon notes there as well for you to download. But today, we're focusing on why mercy is good. He has shown you what is good. Love, mercy. And you know, here's the reality. Most people don't focus on mercy. Most focus on merit more than mercy. Mercy is rarely appreciated or initiated in the kingdoms of men. In fact, throughout history, mercy has been seen as a character flaw. And the reason is because the world operates by the principle, you should get what you deserve. And so in almost every area of your life, you are rewarded for performance. You are judged on the basis of merit, not mercy. Isn't that true? When you go to school, you're going to be graded on the basis of merit. At least you used to be. You need to earn good grades. If you try out for the team, you are not going to get playing time just because the coach has mercy on you. You have to earn playing time. You go out for band, you're going to be put in the particular chair depending on how well you play and perform. At work, we are judged on merit. Did you make enough sales? Did you complete the job in an efficient amount of time? We even use the language. Did you outperform the competition? This is the world that we live in. This is the water we swim in. In the kingdoms of men, we value merit, not mercy. And you know what? The same thing is true in the religions of men. They put emphasis on performance. Now, there may be different ways of performing or One may give you a path to follow. One may give you some pillars. One may give you some commandments. But the religions of men are all essentially doing the same thing. Here is what you must do to prove that you love God. You see, Christianity is the only faith in the world that leads with, here is what God has done to prove that he loves you. We have read the gospel so many times, some of us have forgotten how radical and actually revolutionary Jesus was, because Jesus came into a merit-based world and a merit-based faith, and he constantly led with mercy. So, for example, we've been looking at the story we call the parable of the Good Samaritan. A man comes to Jesus and he says, what is God looking for? And Jesus said, well, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And wanting to justify himself, he said, well, just who is my neighbor? Now understand the question he's asking. In essence, he is saying, who merits my attention as a neighbor? So Jesus told this radical story about a guy that's mugged and left in the ditch to die. And then a priest, a very religious man, walks right past him. And then a Levite, another very religious man, walks by as well. And then this despised, ethnically different man stops and helps the man that's in the ditch. And watch what Jesus does in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 36. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Jesus did not say, go and affirm the same, or go and feel the same feelings. Notice Jesus said that mercy is a verb. Go and do the same. Mercy is a choice. It is an action. And mercy should be a joy. Did you know it is a joy for God? You go back to Micah in chapter 7, and there's this wonderful verse where Micah just praises God with all of these words. Look at what he says in verse 18. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. And then you go back, and he's shown you, oh man, what's good? And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. God is looking for us to act justly, to love mercy. He wants us to love it. God wants us to focus not just on being merciful, but on celebrating opportunities to be merciful. Did you catch that? God wants us to love mercy. Why? Why is mercy so good? Write it down. Because mercy reflects God. You see, we base our actions on who we believe God to be. And this is very, very important. If you don't delight in an opportunity to show mercy to somebody, to give somebody what they do not deserve, then you don't have a mercy problem. You have a knowledge of God problem. You see, God does what God does because he is who he is. He is a God who delights in showing mercy. Let's look at several scriptures together. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 says, but God's mercy is great, and he loved us very much. Though we were spiritually dead because of the things we did against God, he gave us new life with Christ. You have been saved by God's grace. And then in Titus chapter 3, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And then in Peter, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." God does what he does because he is who he is, a God full of mercy. I remember reading about an evangelist who was a little boy in a time in our nation's history that was called the Great Depression. And during that time, a lot of homeless people literally survived by going down and hopping onto railroad cars. So in his little town, he was walking with his mother one day, and they found a man just like that. He looked like he had not had a bath in a long time or a decent meal. So his mother invited this man she did not know to their home. And she let him clean up, and she cooked him a really nice meal. And while the man sat at the table eating, he looked up at this little boy's mom, and he said to her, "I wish there were more people in the world like you." And the mother replied, "Oh, there are. You just need to look for them." And he said, "Lady, I wasn't looking for you. You looked for me." There is no shadow that God will not light up. There is no mountain that he will not climb up coming after me. God came for us because he wanted to. He loves mercy. Have you ever done something that brought you so much joy that you could not wait to do it over again? And I'm in a place in my life where when I say what I'm about to say, those of you who are in this club are going to understand perfectly what I'm talking about. Playing with your grandchild. I cannot tell you the abundant joy I have in my heart when I am privileged to play with my grandson. It is my sincerest joy to be in his presence. And my love for him, I can't even try to put it into words. But every time my grandson leaves, I just cannot wait to be with him again. And do you know that's the feeling God has when he shows us his mercy? In Lamentations, it says, "The faithful love of our Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning." That's our God every single morning. I can't wait to show more mercy to my kids. I love this. His mercies are new every single day. Why is mercy so good? Because it reflects who God is. And God has clearly shown this is what he focuses on. It's all over our Bibles. And that's another reason why mercy is so good, because mercy reveals the scriptures. Now, we love the Bible in this church. I believe that the sincerest way for you to connect with God is not necessarily just sitting in a room like this on a Sunday morning. It is by praying and by reading God's word every single day. Now, you also need to continue to receive encouragement from your brothers and sisters in Christ by meeting weekly together. So don't think I'm downplaying the importance of us assembling together. But it is simply that you can't get everything that you need to connect with your Heavenly Father in this room. You need to be feasting on God's word on your own every single day. And you know, the sad truth is you have met people, I have met people, I have been this person. They can read a lot of the Bible. They can know a lot of the Bible and act like a jerk. I've been guilty of that. Jesus knew a lot of people like that. People that knew a lot of Bible, but they never reflected the heart of God. And whenever Jesus met a serious Bible student, but a lousy neighbor, Jesus had a go-to verse. Did you know that? Jesus had a verse that he would go to whenever he met a bad neighbor. I'll give you some examples. Jesus meets this guy named Matthew. He's a tax collector. He was a scumbag of that day, considered by everybody. And Jesus wanted to be his friend. And Matthew invites Jesus to his house to meet some of his friends. And Jesus went. And all of the religious people said, you shouldn't be hanging out with people like him. And here's what Jesus said in Matthew 9, 12 and 13. On hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But hear this, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. He was asking them, did you miss that verse? Didn't you learn that one when you were studying? Another time he's walking with his disciples and it's a Sabbath day. And in the Jewish culture, you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. And well, they're hungry. So they plucked some heads of grain, popped them in their mouth, and they were eating them. And someone sees this and they cry out, you shouldn't do that. That's wrong. And here's what Jesus said. If you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you wouldn't have condemned the innocent. This is really, really important. Because I know I'm talking to a lot of people that love the Bible, and I'm very thankful for that. But hear this, I'm learning this myself. The primacy of mercy should be the lens through which we read our Bible so that we can discern what God's will is. You know those two guys that walked by the fellow in the ditch? Did you know they read their Bible every single day? They knew a lot of Bible, and they left a man in the ditch. It wasn't that they did not know the Scriptures, but somehow they didn't know the focus of the Scriptures. Now, this happens all the time. It irritates me to no end whenever somebody in the media finds some pastor somewhere who's justifying horrible treatment of people, and they put them on the air, and everybody concludes, well, that's what all Christians are like. Let me be very clear. The next time you hear some pastor on TV or on social media even, and he's justifying, demeaning, or belittling any person that's made in the image of God, just remember, if you're using the Bible to justify treating people wrong, you're not reading the Bible right. I think that there have been times in my life, either on social media or even in my personal relationships, that Jesus would have come to me and said, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. You see, being in God's word should make you more merciful. And loving mercy will make you more biblical. And it will also make you a lot more humble. And that is the final reason that mercy is so good, because mercy rebukes pride. So Jesus said that the very first thing you need to know about the kingdom, it's for the poor in spirit. Uh-oh. The problem is I'm middle class in spirit. I'm not saying I'm rich in spirit. I'm not saying I'm totally full of myself, but I don't know if I'm poor in spirit. I'm middle class. And here's the irony. Religion fuels my drift in that direction. And here's why. Because by trying to be a religious person, and I'm not ashamed of that, I am a religious person. I'm trying to follow the teachings of the Bible, but here's what happens. It helps me live a better life, and then I start to think, well, that makes me better than you. And Jesus knows that that can happen. Another one of his great parables in the 18th chapter of Luke, Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everybody else. Beginning in verse 9, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all that I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. But he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So a lady's car stalled at a busy intersection. For whatever, she could not get it to start. She didn't know how to get it to start. And behind her was a very angry man. And he's just honking and honking and he's yelling and he's honking some more. She gets out of her car and she walks back to that man. And she says, maybe we could trade places. You could go up and try to start my car and I'll sit back here and honk on your horn. Why do we do this? Why do we see people who need help and feel like we can judge so harshly? This is very big. When you love merit, you see people as problems. And when you love mercy, you see people with problems. And the difference in those two things is as far as the east is from the west. You see, mercy people focus on the story behind the need. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Most people don't want to wind up in a ditch. Most people don't want to see their life become a shipwreck. There is a story behind the need, and mercy people look for that. They say love is blind, but let me tell you, pride is much more blind than love because pride can see everybody else's flaws except its own. But mercy focuses on the truth. When I see that person in the ditch, there, but for the grace of God, go I. And so think about it. Why did the Samaritan stop and help that guy in the ditch? Two reasons. First, he saw the image of God in that man in the ditch. Second, he saw his own likeness in the man in the ditch. He saw a man that the merit-based world would judge and ignore. And he saw himself, a person in need of some mercy. That is what you must do to see the gospel. And I want to be very, very clear about this. Love, mercy. I'll tell you what. People who need it, love it. If you know you need mercy, you love mercy. If you know you're lost without it, you never lose your focus on it. But let's be very honest. We're about to go back into the world that we live in, and it is so merit-based, and our focus can become fuzzy. So we need some intentional strategy for maintaining our focus on this merciful God who just delights in us. For me, and we've already had this experience, it's every single week when we take communion. We do this every week. There's this tray and there's a piece of bread and it's real because it represents that Jesus came as a real man. And there's a cup of juice. And that represents that he really shed his blood, real blood, on a cross for you and me. And every single week when we take communion, we have this moment where we're literally trying to regain some clarity and some focus. We revel, literally, in God's mercy on me and you. But not just about the mercy that God has given to me. It's understanding also that God has extended the very same mercy to everyone. And that inspires me to want to serve people. It inspires me to want to help someone, even if they don't appreciate it, even if they don't know I'm the one who did it. And here's something really hard. It inspires me to forgive the person who doesn't deserve it. Because I don't want to live focused on merit. I want to love mercy. Would you stand up? I want to pray with you. God, who is a God like you? A God who loves to show mercy. A God who pursues. A God who doesn't wait for us to ask to be saved before he sends a Savior. A God who every single day refreshes this world with more and more mercy. Oh God, help us to focus on and truly love mercy. Help us extend mercy because we realize how much we still need mercy.